Amen. All right, well, we're there in Acts chapter number 20, and I'd like you to keep your place there. That's going to be one of our main passages for this morning, but go with me just real quickly to the book of Mark, Mark chapter number 6. So if you're there in Acts, you're just going to go backwards through the book of John, through the book of Luke, into the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6. Make sure you keep your place there in Mark's and in Acts 20. We're going to be going back to Acts 20 throughout the sermon, so make sure you can get there quickly. And this morning, I am doing a two-part sermon series just today. This morning, I'm doing a two-part sermon series entitled Things to Focus on This Summer. And just this last Friday, which I think was the 21st, was the official first day of summer. We have been in summer now officially for several days. And whenever this summer season comes upon us, I'd like to remind our church family that there are some good things about the summer, but some things that we should focus on during the summer and some things we should not forget about during the summer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a couple of things to focus on this summer this morning. And then tonight, I'm going to come back and preach a second part to the sermon on some more things to focus on during the summer. So I'd encourage you to come back tonight for our evening service at 6 p.m. if you're able to. We'd love to have you. And you're there in Mark chapter 6. I want you to notice, look down at verse number 30. Mark chapter 6 and verse 30. Notice what the Bible says. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Mark chapter 6 verse 30. And told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So they had just kind of finished a season of ministry in which they had been busy both doing and teaching, accomplishing and doing things. And for us, obviously, we are open all year long and we are ministering all year long. But our spring time, that kind of Easter time and the weeks following after Easter, and our fall time when we have our family and friend day, our church anniversary, and going into October, those are some busy seasons of ministry for us. So this is kind of similar to what we're seeing here in Mark 6. We kind of just got out of a busy season of ministry. And here the apostles, they are coming back and they're talking to Jesus about what they had done and what they had taught. Notice verse 31. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Now the word desert there is referring to a place that is deserted, meaning a place that is solitary, it's private. And I want you to notice that Jesus tells them after a busy season of ministry, he says, come yourselves apart into a desert place. You say, to do what? Notice, and rest a while. I want you to notice that in the Bible, God emphasizes this idea that we as followers of Christ and just as Bible believers, we work and we work hard and we work for the Lord. But then there are also times in our lives when we must come apart and we must rest. It was God who instituted the Sabbath in the Old Testament, where he said that that they would labor for 6 days and then they would take the seventh day to rest. And you find this concept of pushing hard, working hard, accomplishing much, and then taking time to rest. And here we see Jesus bringing that out to his apostles. He says, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going. Notice what it says, and they had no leisure, so much as to eat. The word leisure means freedom from demands. It means freedom of time. They had no free time. They didn't even have enough time to be able to eat or to be able to rest. He says, let's have some time to rest. Notice verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And I want you to notice here that Jesus worked hard. In fact, and I don't have the time to go through the verses, but he was a busy man in ministry, to the point where his family actually said that he was mad. They said that he was crazy based on all that he was accomplishing and how busy he kept himself in the work of the Lord. He was the one that said, we must work for the night is coming. He's the one that said that he needs to do the works of his Father. But I want you to notice that Jesus worked hard and he also took time to rest. He worked hard and he also took time to be refreshed. And he would even have his apostles take time and go to a desert place that they might be able to rest. And you know, summertime is a great time for you to take some time to, with your family to rest a little bit, to relax a little bit, to be recharged a little bit, to be refreshed a little bit. And I want you to know this. As your pastor, I want you to take some time this summer to rest. And in fact, I encourage you to rest. And don't be one of those people who is just kind of a workaholic and you just got to work and work and work and you know, I'll rest when I'm dead and those things. You know, it's good for you and it's good for your family. And I hope that you take some time this summer and carve out maybe a weekend or carve out a week or carve out a few days and get away with your family. And I'm not saying you have to go away necessarily, but, you know, just take some time to rest and to relax and to recharge and to be refreshed. I think those are good things, and I hope you do those things. And here's what's interesting about summertime during for ministry. You know, I've now here in September, my wife and I will have, be celebrating 10 years of ministry here at Verity Baptist Church. We've been doing this for a while now. And what I've learned over the last 9 years, over the last 9 summers, is that it's really interesting. There will not be 1 week this summer when our entire church family is gathered together, except for maybe the weekend of the Red Hot Preaching Conference. But even that, there will probably not be a week this summer. I'm talking about the next 8 weeks of the, you know, of the summer months when our entire church family is gathered together for a church service. In fact, the next time that we will probably have our entire church family, I'm talking about everybody who calls Verity Baptist Church their church, who considers me their pastor, who considers my wife their pastor's wife, the next time we probably have everyone united under one roof will be at Family and Friend Day for our 10-year anniversary in September. And the reason for that is because every week during the summer months, we'll have a family away. We'll have a family gone. Right now, we have 195 people in church on Sunday morning, and I praise the Lord for that. But right now, there are 3 very consistent, faithful families in our church that are away, and they're on vacation. And I'm thankful for it, and I'm happy for it. I'm glad that they're taking time to relax and to be refreshed and to do those things. So summertime is a great time to relax, and I want you to. I want you to take time to be refreshed, take time to get recharged, take time, because when fall comes along, we're going to hit it hard again. And I'm not saying we're not going to hit it hard during the summer, but we're going to get back into gear. We're going to get back into school. We're going to get back into work schedules, and we're going to hit ministry hard again. However, with that said, let me say this, that just because summertime is a great time to relax and to be refreshed and to take time to recharge your batteries, there are some things that we should not forget about during the summer month. And here's what you need to understand. You are a Christian even during the summer. God is still God even during the summer. The Bible is still the Bible even during the summer. And what I'd like to do this morning, I'd like to give you 2 areas that you should stay consistent in throughout the summer and that you should make a priority throughout the summer this morning. And then tonight I'm going to give you 2 different areas to stay consistent in and to focus on throughout the summer months. Now, you're there in Mark 6. Go back with me to Acts chapter 20. And like I said, keep your place there. Put a ribbon or a bookmark or a bulletin or something there because we're going to leave Acts and come back to it. Acts chapter 20. Here's the first area of areas you should focus on during the summer. During the summer, we should be going to church faithfully. During the summer, we should be going to church faithfully. I want you to notice what the apostle said there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 18. Acts 20 and verse 18 says this, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia." So he's talking about the fact that they planted a church, they had a ministry there in Asia. And here's what he said. He said, "You know that from the first day that I showed up here in Asia, after what manner," notice what he says, "I have been with you at all seasons." He says, "You know that I've had a habit, I've had a custom, I have had a manner of my life that has been with you at all seasons." And here's what he's saying. He's saying there has not been a season in my life that I've just kind of forgot about you guys, that I forgot about Christianity, that I forgot about following the Lord, that I forgot about church attendance. He said, "I've been with you at all seasons." And that, you know, you say, well, what does that mean? That would include summer season. That would include vacation season. Some of you guys, that would include football season. All right, that would include basketball season. That would, he says, look, there's not been a major season in my life when I wasn't faithful to church, when I wasn't faithful to God, when I wasn't faithful to the things of God. He said, you know after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Now, let's answer this question. What is a church? Because I think people have a very wrong ideas as to what constitutes a church or what makes up a church. Now, you're there in Acts 20. Look down at verse number 7. And let me just say this. And this is, I could preach a whole sermon about what a church is. And in fact, I've done a three-part series on churches and what makes something a right church and a good church. And I'm not going to go into all that detail. But let me say this. A church is an assembly of believers. Just the quick answer, and you can get more complicated. And if you want to get more complicated, I would say this. A church is a called out assembly of baptized believers under the authority of a pastor, mobilized for the fulfilling of the Great Commission. If you want the full answer, there you go. But just the quick answer is this. A church is an assembly of believers. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, I want you to notice the emphasis there is on the first day of the week. This is what's referred to as the Lord's Day. The first day of the week is Sunday. You say, why do we meet in church on Sunday? Here's why. Because the Lord resurrected on the first day of the week. So we honor that and we acknowledge that and we remember that by meeting together on the first day of the week. That's why we meet on Sundays. You say, why do we meet on Wednesdays? Because that's when he died. And the Bible is very clear that he died on Wednesday night. Some of you are thinking, I thought he died on a Friday. That is a hoax. That is not true. And I've got sermons that I can point you to that explain that, or I can help you understand that. But we meet on Wednesdays. Why? Because that's when our Lord died. And we meet on Wednesday nights to remember that. Why do we meet on Sundays? Because that's when he resurrected, and we meet on Sundays. It's important that you get, and by the way, it's the first day of the week. Everything that's first belongs to God. So we give him Sunday to acknowledge that it's his. It's his day. It's the time that we acknowledge him. So notice here in verse 7, and upon the first day of the week. And by the way, that's Sunday, not Saturday. And you've got the Seventh-day Adventist. You've even got, Sabbath-keeping Baptists will say, oh, we're supposed to have church on the Sabbath. Well, here's the problem with that. You don't see that in the New Testament. They met on the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples, notice what it says, came together. So I want you to notice what they did when they had church. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. You say, why are you showing us that? Here's why I'm showing you that. Because I want you to notice that church is an assembly of believers. It is a coming together of believers. Look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Now, these verses I'm showing you, we're going to come back to them. So make sure you can get to them. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. Notice what the Bible says. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, notice what it says, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Here's what I want you to understand. The Bible teaches that a church is an assembling of believers. It says that they assembled themselves with the church. And by the way, this is why we reject here at Verity Baptist Church the idea or the teaching of a universal church. Today there is the teaching of the universal church, which says that all Christians make up this universal church. That is a Catholic teaching, and that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that a church is an assembly of believers. And because you have to physically be assembled with believers, churches are local. We believe in local churches. You say, don't you think there'll be one day when all believers are assembled together and we're a universal church? Yeah, that's called the rapture. When all believers are raptured up and are gathered together. But look, right now there is no universal church. There's Verity Baptist Church meeting here in Sacramento, California. There's other churches meeting in local areas and local places because a church is an assembly. In fact, the word church literally means assembly. If you look at the underlying Greek word, it means assembly. The Bible uses the word church and assembly and the word congregation, which means assembly. Like we've got a congress, which is an assembly of our representatives. All these words are used interchangeably in the Bible. Why? Because just in the most basic setting, a church is an assembly of believers. So look, for you to say, I've been in church, you have to be assembled with other believers. That's what a church is. And you say, well, what is the point of that? What is the purpose of that? Why would I even want to make an effort to be part of a local church? Now, keep your place there in Acts. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to notice the Great Commission. We've seen these verses before, but let's look at them together. Matthew 28, this is why Jesus left us here on the earth. This is what he left us here for to accomplish. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is what's known as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 says this, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now that's what we call soul winning, and we get that term from the book of Proverbs, and this is when we go out into the world and we preach the gospel. In other places, this is quoted as preach the gospel to every creature. Here we're told to teach all nations. You say, well, what do you do after you get somebody saved? After you preach the gospel to them, they believe it, they receive it, they're saved. Then we are to baptize them. Notice, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, what about that? What about after that? Verse 20, then we are to be teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Great Commission is for us to go out and preach the gospel, for us to go out and baptize converts, and then we are to take them and teach them to observe all things. You say, well, what is the purpose of church? The first purpose of church is discipleship. To help teach you, to help you understand what the Bible says, to help you understand what the Word of God says. Why? Because Jesus said that our job is to teach them to observe all things. Go back to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. And please understand this. When I say discipleship, I mean more than just a class. Now, we have a discipleship class, and I'm really happy with our discipleship class. I think it's a great class, and I would encourage you, if you've never gone through a structured discipleship program, to join our class the next time we offer it. But the purpose of everything around church is either to reach people or to teach people, to get people saved, or to help them observe whatsoever I've commanded. Look, everything that happens here at Verity Baptist Church, everything we do falls under the canopy of either reaching people or teaching people. We're either reaching people with the gospel, or we are teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Every time we have a church service, we are doing discipleship. Why? Because we're opening up the Bible and we're teaching you something from the Word of God. Every Sunday night, we open up the Bible and teach you something from the Word of God. Every Wednesday night, we open up the Bible and teach you something from the Word of God. Why? Because we are trying to help you become more like Christ, know more about Christ, know Christ. Say, why are we going to spend 7 weeks this summer listening in on the encounters of the Lord Jesus Christ and the private conversations he had with individuals throughout his ministry? Why? So you can learn Christ, you can be more like Christ. You say, why? Because the purpose of church is discipleship. Acts 11, look at verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. You say, okay, well, what did they assemble themselves to do? Was it just to play softball? Was it just to have a good time together? Was it just to have some sort of recreational time? No. Notice, and taught much people. He taught them the Word of God. He opened the Bible and explained to them, this is what the Bible says. This is what God's will is for your life. This is what God desires for you. And notice the result. They taught much people. So they go into this area, Antioch. They assemble themselves. They start a church. They begin to assemble themselves with other believers. They assemble, he says, a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Then notice the result. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Here the Bible tells us, you know, we go by the name Christian. Where do we get that name from? The first time that any believer was called a disciple was here in Antioch. The word disciple means a Christian means a little Christ. It means a follower of Christ. Here's what happened. They started gathering together, a bunch of believers in Antioch, and Paul began to teach them, and they were teaching much people. And as a result of the teaching, people began to apply those things in their lives. They began to stop doing certain things that they realized that's not what God wants me to do. They began to do other things that they realized is what God wants me to do. And they started to be a lot like Christ. And their neighbors, and their co-workers, and their friends, and the community took notice. And they said, you know what, those people, they're kind of like Christ. They're kind of like little Christ. They're kind of like Christians. And that's where we got our name from. We got our name from this group of believers that assembled themselves and they were taught the word, they received the word, they applied it to their lives, and their lives began to change. This is the purpose of church. It's to be discipled. It's to be in discipleship. This is why I don't understand this idea. People will come to a church like Verity Baptist Church and they'll say, I don't know, I don't really like your church. I was like, well, why? Well, I mean, you teach a lot of things from the Bible, but every time I go there, I find out I'm doing something wrong. I'm like, isn't that the point? Isn't that what we're... I just, every time, you know, you teach about this, and it's like, oh, I was doing that wrong. Or you teach about that, oh, I was doing that wrong. You teach about that, oh, I was doing that wrong. And you say, I don't know that I like that. Look, if you go to a church for years and years and years and years and years, and you're never being taught anything, you're never being challenged, you're never being told you're doing something wrong, you're never being told, hey, here's the will that God has for your life. You're going this way. God wants you to go that way. If you're never being taught anything, why even go to church? The point is to be discipled. The point is not that you would go out and tell everyone, I'm a Christian, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I think you should do that. But the point is this, that your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors and your loved ones would look at you and say, something has changed. Man, there's something different about you. What changed? What happened? You're kind of reminding me a lot of Christ. What's the purpose of church? To be discipled. What's the purpose of church? That you might learn the word of God and that it might change your life. But there's a second purpose. Notice you're there in Acts 20, look at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, notice these words, to break bread. To break bread. Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. I want you to notice that not only were they assembled together that Paul might preach unto them, but they also assembled together to break bread. You say, what is that? That's fellowship. In the Greek, it means they had coffee and donuts. They had a time of fellowship. They got, because you say, well, church is all about being discipled and learning and growing. Yes, but it's more than that. It's also about fellowship. It's also about developing friendships. It's also about becoming friends and having other people around you that you can fellowship with. Go to Acts chapter 2. You're there in Acts 20? Just flip back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The purpose of church is discipleship and it's fellowship. It's discipleship, and it's getting around other believers. You say, well, why do I need to be around other believers? Here's what the Bible says. Iron sharpeneth iron. Amen. And when you get and a good friend will sharpen the countenance of a friend. You need to develop friendships and have people around you that believe like you, that are headed in the same direction like you, that are agreeing with you. You say, why? Because, look, the world out there is not going in the same direction we're going. They don't believe the same things we believe about child rearing. They don't believe the same things we believe about marriage. They don't believe the same things we believe about modesty. They don't believe the same things we believe about how to live your life and how to act and the things we should do and the things we should focus on and the things that should be our priority. They don't believe those things. So you say, well, what do I need? I need to get around other people who can encourage me along the way. Acts 2:42, notice what the Bible says. And they continued. And I want you to notice this is a key word, they continued. Because there are many Christians who do not continue. They get saved, they might come to church, they might get baptized, but they don't continue in the things of God. They don't continue in the long run. You say, why? Because there are several things that need to happen in order for you to continue. Notice, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. This is the preaching. This is the discipleship. The apostles were discipling them. They were teaching them. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, but that's not enough. Notice what else? And fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. Want you to notice that fellowship is a very important aspect of the Christian life. And this is what church provides for you. It provides not only teaching and preaching, discipleship, but it also provides fellowship. We can't force people to be friends, but what we do here, one of our major visions or one of our major themes that we push here is that we attempt to facilitate fellowship. That's why we have ladies' tea. That's why we have church picnic. This is why we have cake and ice cream at the end of every month. This is why we have potlucks. This is why we do, you know, these types of things. Why? Because we're trying to give people opportunities. This is why we have coffee and donuts every Sunday morning. We're trying to give people opportunities to be able to develop fellowship and friendships. You say, why? Because it's an extremely important aspect of the Christian life. And this is what church does for you. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Keep your place in Acts. We're going to come back to it. Go to Hebrews 10. If you start at the end of the New Testament and you head backwards, you've got Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd and 1st Peter, James, and then you've got the book of Hebrews. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd and 1st Peter, James, and then Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice what the Bible says. This is a command, not forsaking. God's telling you, don't forsake what? The assembling of ourselves together. What's the assembling of ourselves together? It's church. He said, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Then notice what he says. As the manner of some is. The word manner means custom or habit. He said, some people have a custom or they have a habit of forsaking the assembling. They just don't go to church. God says, look, I instituted the church for you. I gave you a church that you might learn my word, and that you might have fellowship. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But then notice what he says. He says, here's the contrast. Here's why I don't want you to forsake the assembling. But exhorting one another. See that word exhort? It means to strongly encourage. He says, but exhorting one another. And then he says this, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes people ask me, you know, we have church here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. People say, I don't know, it's kind of a lot of church services, don't you think? And you know, I always point to them, the Bible says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, the Bible says that the world is waxing worse and worse. You know, as the world gets worse and worse, we need more and more biblical preaching. We need more and more fellowship with other believers. We need more and more, you know, being around other people. And people say, oh, you know, I don't know about this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know what the Bible says in Colossians 3:4? You don't have to turn there. But I love this phrase in Colossians 3:4. It says, Christ who is our life. And here's what I've learned about Christians, is that there are two types of Christians. There are the Christians that are just kind of like, I just go to church on Sunday morning, and I kind of check off that box, and I was in church on Sunday morning, and I did my thing, and good. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's just me. That's my life. Sunday morning, that's God's. Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday, Tuesday, that's me. Look, that's not the way you ought to live your life as a Christian. Say, Sunday belongs to God. Yes, it does, but you know what? So does Saturday. So does Monday, so does Tuesday, so does Wednesday. Christ who is our life. See, our lives should revolve around Christ. If we're Christians, if we're followers of Christ, our lives should revolve around Christ. And look, I just grew up this way. I'm thankful for my parents. They just kind of grew us up this way where, hey, if there's something going on at church, we're going to be there. If there's church on Sunday morning, we're going to be there Sunday morning. If there's church on Sunday night, we're going to be there Sunday night. If there's church on Wednesday night, we're going to be there on Wednesday night. If they're having a special conference and there's church on Thursday, we're going to be there on Thursday and we're going to be there on Friday and we're going to be there on Saturday. You say, why? Because Christ was our life. And if you're saying, well, you know, should I come to church on Sunday night? And look, I want to encourage some of you, summer, take this time in summer to maybe increase your church attendance. Some of you have the manner of forsaking the assembly. And you show up to church, and then you kind of just don't go for a few weeks, and you show up to church, and you might go a couple of months without going to church. I want to encourage you. You need to make the decision. You know what? I'm going to be faithful every week to the house of God. I'm going to honor the Lord on His day. I'm going to give the first day of the week to the Lord. And some of you, that's where you need to get. You're just kind of not faithful. You're the one, as the manner of some is, and you need to just get faithful to the house of God. Some of you, you say, well, I come every Sunday morning. Well, you might want to consider coming back on Sunday night or coming back on a Wednesday night, adding a different service, you say, well, I come on Wednesdays. Maybe consider coming Sunday night. You say, well, I go to all three services. Maybe consider going soul winning. You say, well, isn't that too much? Christ who is our life. And look, and here's the truth, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to help you, challenge you. I want to go to church where I don't feel guilty. Okay, that's fine, but the point of church is to help you grow. And here's the thing. Just answer this question truthfully. Answer this question truthfully. On Sunday night, when you're getting ready to sit down and watch the Grammys or the Oscars or whatever it is you do on a Sunday night, ask yourself, what would Christ have me to do right now? I mean, are you against prayer? Just bow your heads and close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus Christ, it's 5 p.m. on a Sunday. Church is going to start tonight at 6 p.m. What would you have me to do? And I have a hard time believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible tells us died for the church, who the Bible tells us is the head of the church, who the Bible tells us that he builds the church, he protects the church, he loves the church. I have a hard time believing that the Lord Jesus Christ, who instituted the local New Testament church, is going to say, just watch the Grammys. And here's all I'm telling you. If you honestly ask yourself on Monday morning, Lord, what would you have me to do? He's going to tell you, read your Bible. Lord, what would you have me to do? Should I go on Facebook or should I spend 30 minutes on my knees praying? He's going to say, pray. And when it's Wednesday night, Lord, what would you have me to do? Would you have me to go to Wednesday night Bible study and be around my fellow believers and be under the preaching God's word and learn from the Bible? Would you rather I do that or would you rather I sit at home in my pajamas? I think he's going to say, go to church. And you say, well, if I don't go to church, am I going to lose my salvation? Look, there's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. All I'm telling you is this. God desires for you to be under the preaching of God's word, to be in the fellowship of believers, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of something. And you know, what's interesting is that some of you come to a church like this and you say, wow, I've been coming here for a few weeks and I've learned so much. Well, imagine how much more you'd learn if you came back on Sunday night. Wednesday night. Special events. All I'm telling you is this. Look, don't forget that Christ is supposed to be our life. And it's not this thing where we just kind of give him a few hours once a week and then the rest of it is our lives. No. It's all his. It all belongs to him. And we should live our lives in a way, what would Jesus want me to do? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're there in Acts, you know, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me give you a third reason why you might want to go to church. Number one is for discipleship. Number two, it's for fellowship. But number three, it's for encouragement. Remember we read there, but exhorting one another? Exhorting one another? I'll be honest with you. I don't really know how people who don't go to church live their lives. Because the Bible says that one of the purposes of church is to encourage one another. Are you there in 1 Corinthians 12? Look at verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 says this, that there should be no schism. That word means split or division in the body. Now, the body is the local church. He says, God says, I don't want division in the body. Notice what he says. But that the members... He's talking about the members of the church. Notice what it says. Should have the same care one for another. You know, one of the purposes of the church is for you to not only be discipled, is for you not only develop friendships and to fellowship together, but within those friendships and those fellowships, that you might to begin encourage and care one for another. Verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Look, if you're not faithful to the house of God, if you're not faithful enough to begin to develop friendships and relationships, then you're going to miss out on this major area of your life. It says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. The Bible says that we are to, when one member suffers, we as a church, we come alongside each other and other members suffer with it. Whether one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in the Old Testament. If you open up just right in the center, you're more than likely found the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Look, in church life, we are able to make an investment into the lives of others, and then others can make an investment into our lives. I mean, sometimes people will call here and they're asking for some major things. Is there someone in your church that is willing to donate a kidney, you know, or just something crazy? Is there someone in your church who's willing to do X or willing to do Y or willing to do Z? And I think to myself, no. We don't know you. How do you expect me to say, hey, this person who never comes to church here, has never came to church here, has came here maybe once or twice, is asking for this major sacrifice and volunteering and this, you know. Here's the thing. It's sad that people who don't go to church live their lives outside of community. Well, when they go through something major in their life, they need help, nobody cares. And I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just saying, nobody cares. And here's the thing, if you find yourself in life, nobody caring, it's probably because you never cared. It's probably because you never, you say, people aren't investing in me. Well, have you ever invested yourself? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. That's what the Bible says. Look, you were created to live in community. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And you know what I believe? You know what I think? I think that there are people in this church. There are people in this church that have known each other and loved each other and have been in community and been in relationship for so long. There are people in this church that if you, I mean, I don't have to guess it. I know it. Sometimes there are situations in our church where people need help with, you know, maybe something broke in their house and they need someone to help them fix it. And we'll have people from our church, guys from our church show up and say, we'll take care of that. We'll help you with that. We'll fix that. You know, I'm moving and guys from our church will show up and say, we'll help you pack and we'll move things out. And a lady has a baby and the ladies in our church will make meals and bring meals to the house every week till she's recovered. Someone goes through some major surgery and we'll bring meals and we'll pray. You say, well, how does that happen? Here's how that happens. That happens because of the fact that we live in community. We know each other and we love each other. And when one of us suffers, the rest of the members suffers with them. And when one of us rejoices, the rest rejoice. But look, if you don't make church a priority, you're never going to have a community of people around you who love you. Amen. Amen. And you'll call a church and say, I just went through major surgery. Can someone bring me meals? And it's like, I know we should get, you know, and we buy groceries for people we don't know. Please don't misunderstand me. We buy groceries and we do have given meals to people, but it's not the same thing. Look, you should live your life in a way where you've invested yourself into others. Where when you fall, there's someone there to pick you up, and when your friend falls, you're there to pick them up. And that's church. And see, here's the thing. Look, we put our preaching on YouTube. We put our preaching on Facebook. We have a TV show, and our TV, our preaching goes out on TV on Tuesday nights here in the Sacramento area. And I believe in getting the word out in as many ways as possible. But listen to me, the problem with watching the sermons on YouTube or watching the sermons on TV or the, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I think it's good to do that. I think it's good to, look, the more preaching you get, the better. But that should be in addition to going to church. You say, why? Because here's what YouTube doesn't give you, fellowship. Amen. Here's what YouTube doesn't give you, friendship. Here's what YouTube doesn't give you, a community of believers coming alongside you, praying with you, comforting you, helping you carry your burdens through life. One of the purposes of church is, yes, to be taught the Word of God. Another purpose is fellowship, but another purpose is encouragement. It's to be encouraged. And you say, well, nobody cares about me. Well, have you ever cared about others? Nobody's investing in me. Well, have you invested in others? You gotta invest into relationships with other people. You say, why? Because God created you to live in community. And God created you specifically to live in a Christian community of believers that He calls the local church. And here's the thing, and here's what I know. Intuitively, you know that's true. This is why the world who rejects Christ will spend their Wednesday night at a bowling alley with a bowling league. They'll spend their Saturdays in a parking lot with other people who have the same motorcycle or car or whatever that they have. This is why you've got 7 billion friends on Facebook. This is why social media is so big. Why? Because God created us to desire and to want community. And look, I'm not against Facebook necessarily. There's definitely some bad things on Facebook. But here's what I'm telling you. What God created to fulfill that need was called the local New Testament church. Amen. And you got to make church a priority. You got to make church a priority, not just for the teaching of God's word, but for the fellowship and for the encouragement. And let me just say this, and I'm going to get off this point and move on to something else. But let me just say this. During the summertime, make church a priority. Jesus should be our priority. You don't have to turn there, Colossians 1:18. In fact, you go back to Acts chapter 17, if you wouldn't mind. But Colossians 1:18 says this, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The Bible says that Jesus should have the preeminence above all things, above everything, he comes first. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Bible says that we should seek the kingdom of God first. He should come first in everything. And let me just say this. When I started the sermon by saying, I want you to go on vacation. I want you to take time off. I want you to be refreshed. I want you to relax. But while you go on vacation, while you get apart in a desert place, while you take time to be refreshed and take time to relax, don't take time off of God. Take a vacation from work. Don't take a vacation from God. So, Pastor Mez, I don't understand. You want us to go away, but then you want us to be in church. Please listen to me. When you're on vacation, I'm not saying you have to come to church here. I'm saying go to church. Find a church in that area and go to it. Are you okay with us going to a different church? You know, I'm not okay with you going to a rock concert, unholy church. Find a good church that's preaching out of the King James Bible and right on salvation and go there. You know what? I actually love it. I was just telling somebody this. I love it when our church people go to other churches. Because you know what happens? They come back grateful. They're like, oh, Pastor, I went to this church. You'll never believe it. And I'm like, no, I'll believe it. I mean, it was this, it was that. I get it. Some of you are a little too spoiled. Go on vacation. Go visit some of these other churches. See how much you learn. See how much you grow. See how friendly they are. See how much they encourage you along the way. Look, I'm not saying you have to go to church here. I'm just saying make God a priority. And listen to me. You say, oh, but it's too much work. I'm on vacation. You know what's funny to me? We'll be sleep deprived. You'll get up early. You'll do whatever you need to do. You'll get whatever you need to get. You'll prepare things. You'll get things ready. And you'll sacrifice to go fishing, to go hunting, to go to Disneyland. Well, you know what? All you're showing us is where your priorities are at. Make an effort. Plan things out. Figure out, okay, where am I going to be on Sunday? Where can I go to church on Sunday? Where can I go? And this is all I'm telling you. Make God a priority. And let me just say this, those of you with kids. I remember when I was a kid growing up, it didn't matter where we were. If it was Sunday, we were in church somewhere. That made a huge impact on my life. You know what that taught me as a kid growing up? If it was Sunday night, we're in church. Man, we were poor, so we didn't go on vacation a lot. But, you know, if we were somewhere away from home, we were in church. You say, you know what that taught me? It taught me this. God is a priority to my parents. God should be a priority in our lives. And look, here's what you're telling your kids subconsciously when you say, "Hon, listen, we're going on a 2-week vacation. We're not going to go for church for 2 weeks." Here's what you're telling your kids subconsciously. God is not a priority. We take vacations from God. Don't do that. I'm not saying come here. I'm saying make God a priority. Look, when you're on vacation, read your Bible. When you're on vacation, pray. When you're relaxing and refreshing, take time and do those things. But be faithful to God's house. We're talking about things that you should focus on during the summer. Number one, and that was a major one. The next one won't take that long. But the first thing is this. During the summertime, we should be going to church faithfully. Here's point number two. During the summertime, we should be growing spiritually. During the summertime, we should be growing spiritually. You're there in Acts 17. We'll do this quickly. Aren't you thankful I've turned this into a two-part sermon? We just got done with part one. I got three more points. I'm going to give you one right now and two tonight, all right? So Here's point number two. During the summer, we should be growing spiritually. Acts 17:11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Notice these words. And searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You know, you ought to develop a habit of daily Bible reading. You ought to develop a habit of reading the Bible daily. And here's the thing, even during the summer. And I realize sometimes, you know, summer vacations, they get hectic. And I'm not saying you got to read 9 chapters a day when you're out on vacation. But make sure you take some time and spend time in God's Word. Search the Scriptures daily. 2 Peter 3:18, you don't have to turn there. In fact, you go to the book of Luke if you wouldn't mind. You're there in Acts, go backwards, past John into Luke. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, this summertime should be a time when you develop, when you focus on not only going to church faithfully wherever you're at, but it should be a time when you focus on growing yourself spiritually. And one way you're going to do that is by spending time in the Word. I want to encourage you to develop, if you don't have it, develop a habit of daily Bible reading and make sure you're faithful with that during the summer months. Let me say this, you got to develop a time of daily prayer time. Luke chapter 11, we could go to a lot of passages for this. Let me just show you one. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Luke 11:1 says this, and it came to pass that as he, this is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. And by the way, we're not supposed to chant this. This was just a pattern prayer. It's a prayer. He's teaching them this is how you can pray. This is how you should pray. But I want you to notice something in this, what's referred to as the Lord's Prayer, verse 3. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Now look, if Jesus is telling us that we ought to be praying daily for our substance, then he must want us to be praying daily. Amen. Do you understand what I just said? He says, hey, you got to pray. He doesn't say, give us this day our day for the week, our day for the month. He says, I want you every day to pray that God supplies your needs. Well, look, then here's the underlying thought. He wants you to pray every day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. So look, I want to encourage you, and this might be a good summer challenge for you. This summer, I'm going to develop a daily Bible reading habit. This summer, I'm going to develop a daily prayer habit. This summer, I'm going to be faithful to church. This summer, I'm going to step up my church game. I'm going to maybe show up on a Sunday night or show up on a Wednesday night. This summer, I'm going to focus not only on going to church faithfully, but on growing in the Lord spiritually. Let me just give you some real quick steps. Some practical tips for daily devotional times. You're there in Luke. Go to Mark chapter 1. We're almost done. This is the last place I'll have you turn to. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. You say, Pastor Jimenez, you know, you want me to pray every day and read the Bible every day? I've never done that. I'm not sure what to do. Let me just give you two tips real quickly. From the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 1:35. Notice what it says. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, this is about Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. You say, I want to develop a daily devotional time where I spend time reading the Bible and praying. What should I do? Number one, choose a specific place. Choose a private place. Just decide, this is where I read the Bible. This is where I spend time in the Word. But notice, secondly, choose a specific time. Notice, again, verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. And look, and I'm not saying you have to do it. Preferably in the morning would probably be best for most of us because of the fact that if we leave it off for later in the day, we get busy and we forget. Sometimes it's better to just do it in the morning, and that way you start your day right, you know. And if that doesn't work for you, you've got maybe a weird schedule that doesn't allow you to do that, then do what works for you. But here's what I'm telling you. Choose a specific place and choose a specific time. Choose a specific place and choose a specific time. And it doesn't have to be some holy thing. Pastor, can I show up to church? Can I come here at 5 in the morning every day and read the Bible? Kneeling by the pulpit? And I don't have to be like that. You know, honestly, for my wife and I, it's our dinner table. You know, in the morning, we get up. the kids are sometimes still sleeping, or maybe they've woken up and they're running around doing whatever. And my wife makes two cups of coffee, and we just spend some time there at the table. She's got her Bible and her coffee. I've got my Bible and my coffee. We just spend time in God's Word. I'm not saying it has to be this big ritualistic thing. I'm just saying, look, if you want to develop a time of devotion with God, choose a place, choose a time, get it done. And here's all I'm telling you. This summer is a great time to relax, to be refreshed, to spend time away, recharging your batteries. And here's all I'm telling you. Be faithful to church. Be faithful in the Word. Be faithful in prayer. Don't take a vacation from God. Take a vacation from work. Look, take a vacation from us. Go to another church. Go somewhere else. You know, when I don't know that I have to say this. I don't think I have to say this, but please know this. If ever I'm not here, if ever my wife and I are not here on a Sunday, please know, we're in church. You say, Pastor, you guys were just gone in Hawaii a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you know what I was doing on Sunday? Preaching! at the mission trip in Hawaii. You know, we were in church. Just make God a priority during the summer months. Relax, recharge, be refreshed. Take a vacation, but not from God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time, this season we're going into, this summer season, spending time away, spending time with family, just getting refreshed. And Lord, we thank you for giving us those instructions in the Bible. But Lord, help us to just keep you as a priority at all seasons in our lives. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.